We titled our devotion this morning, or this afternoon, I Will Praise the Name of God with a Song. And it's from Psalm 69, verse 30. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. And Psalm 66, verses 1 and 2 tells us that we should make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Now, we are going to be singing a fair number of hymns. I don't know if we're going to get through them all or not, but we're going to try. And when you look at a hymn, there are two components to every hymn that we sing. First, there's the message, and secondly, there's a melody. And while there have been many great messages or poems that have been written over the years, and there have been many great melodies composed, it's when those two come together, the combination of great words and a great melody, that transforms a poem that has been set to music to something far greater. A hymn, if you will, that becomes treasured by many and many times over great lengths or spans of time. Today we want to reflect on and sing some of those hymns that as we worship together. And I'm going to ask that instead of paying a lot of attention to the music, instead of trying to come in on the right beat, instead of trying to make sure you hit the right note or you hold it for the correct length, I really would like you to concentrate on the words of the hymns. And more importantly, you know, not just today, but every time you sing a hymn, pay attention to the words. And when we sing the hymns today, I want you to think about the many different types of expressions that have been felt, that have been articulated and captured. The expressions of faith, of confidence, of sorrow, of encouragement, and even of a petition. And all of these are expressions of worship. And they've been recorded for us. And they've been set to music, and over time they've touched many lives. And perhaps they've even touched yours. I also would like you to think about the underlying circumstances of the emotions being expressed within the hymn itself. And think about what circumstances the author of the hymn might have gone through that allowed them to take the experience that they're going through and the expressions of their heart and to change it from a feeling into something that's written for us. I've chosen the hymn book, the book, 101 Hymn Stories, as the basis. And so what we're going to do is share with you a little bit of the history of the hymn before we sing the hymn itself. And the book is written by Kenneth W. Ospick, and he's got two or three. There's hymns, and there's 101 hymns, and there's 101 more hymns. So it's actually three different books, to my knowledge, that are out. Now, you recognize many of these hymns. And it's probably because we sing them in our hymnal. But the hymns that we're going to sing today are as original as they can be as far as the wording goes and also the melody. So they're not going to be necessarily they won't necessarily be exactly as the way we sing them or the words that we use. And I wanted to choose hymns that are a little bit different, but familiar to us, because sometimes we think the only hymns we can sing are the ones that we're familiar with in our hymnal. And I think that's a little bit short-sighted, because there are many, many, many hymns that express devotion and love to our Heavenly Father, and devotion and love to our Lord and Savior. And they have the ability to touch our heart in a very profound way. So with that introduction, we're going to open, or actually start with the first hymn, Abide With Me. And this hymn was written by a relatively unknown English pastor by the name of Mr. Henry F. Light at the age of 54 years, and he wrote this in 1847. And he died shortly afterwards in the fall of that year. Now, he was frail most of his life, and he was ill with asthma and tuberculosis. And though frail in his body, he was a tireless worker. And he had a reputation as a poet, a musician, and as a minister. And wherever he ministered, he was greatly admired and loved. Now, it's been said of this hymn that it was meant to be read and really not sung. And it has become a favorite of Christians everywhere during times of sorrow and deep distress. So before we sing it, I'd like to just read it to you. And again, listen. Listen with your heart. Abide with me. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs our life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What by thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, O, abide with me. Hold thou thy word before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life and death, O Lord, abide with me. So let's sing that. Abide with me. Our next hymn is Be Still, My Soul. Be Still, My Soul is written in German, and it was published first in 1752. Approximately 100 years later, it was translated into English, and sometime after 1899, it was put to the melody that we are going to sing. After centuries of dormancy during the Middle or Dark Ages, the 16th century Reformation period revived congregational singing. However, after only a century of revival, the church once more was cold and non-evangelistic. In the latter half of the 17th century, another revival, the Pietistic revival in Germany, awakened. This is a hymn from that period of time. The music coming from this movement was characterized by genuine piety, depth of feeling, rich Christian experience, and faithfulness in scriptural expression. This hymn reaches across the years to remind us of something the prophet Isaiah recorded centuries earlier. A very simple but age-abiding truth. It's Isaiah 30, verse 15. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. When you are troubled or perplexed, or facing change that you may not know the outcome to, think of the words of this hymn, penned by Katharina von Schlegel over 250 years ago. She too was perplexed as to what the future holds, but she was confident in the one who knows what it brings. Let's sing together, Be Still, My Soul. Our next hymn is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. John Fawcett, the author, was born in England in 1740 to very poor parents. He was ordained a Baptist minister at the age of 26, and he pastored a small impoverished congregation at Wainsgate in northern England. And after spending several years there at Wainsgate, where his salary was meager and his family kept growing, he received the call to pastor a very large and influential church in London. He accepted that offer, and so he and his family made preparations to leave. And as the day for the scheduled departure from Wainsgate arrived, with all of his small congregation gathered around him as he loaded up and packed the wagons, his wife finally broke down and said, I can't leave. And he turns to her and he says to her, nor can I. So they quickly unpacked the wagons And during one of his ensuing sermons, Pastor Fawcett shared this hymn text, "Blessed be the tie that binds," with his congregation. Now, Mr. Fawcett continued his faithful ministry to these humble people in Waynesgate for more than 50 years, still on his meager salary. He became well known as an outstanding preacher and scholar. In 1777, he opened up a school for young preachers. In 1793, he was invited to become principal of the Baptist Academy of Bristol, England, but he declined. In 1811, he was conferred the Doctor of Divinity from Brown University of the United States, yet he remained with his beloved parishioners until his death in 1817. His life can certainly be cited as an example of a spiritual leader who loved his parishioners, and he sacrificed his own personal ambition and gain for their benefit. This hymn was written to a very poor, impoverished congregation by a man who had little more than what they had. Yet he loved them, and he was loved by them in a way that few ever experience. It was written as an acknowledgement of what they, his congregation, meant to him, as well as what he meant to them. So let's sing together, "Blessed be the tie that binds." "Day by Day" was written by Miss Lena Sandell of Sweden. Now, Miss Sandell was the daughter of a pastor and was very frail in her youth, and she preferred to spend her time with her father in his study than to play with her peers outside. She was 26 years old when she accompanied her father on a journey to Gothenburg in Sweden, where the ship suddenly lurched and Lena's father fell overboard and drowned right in front of her eyes. The tragic loss of her father broke her heart. And in that broken-hearted condition, this hymn and others were written. It is said of her hymns that they reflect simple childlike trust in Christ and a deep sense of his abiding presence in her own life. I think the sentiments of this hymn gave her a great comfort. I hope that when you are going through times in your own life, when you are anguished, distressed, burdened with grief or loss, uncertain as to what to do, that you think of this hymn, and that it lifts you up and gives you a peace and a calmness. Let's sing together, "Day by Day." Thank you. Our next hymn, He Leadeth Me, was written by Joseph Gilmore, a 28-year-old pastor in Philadelphia in 1862. Earlier in the evening, he had preached at a weeknight service on Psalm 23, and he was impressed by the blessedness of being led by God. After the service, he was fellowshipping in one of the deacon's homes, and they were discussing the blessedness and his discourse. He grabbed a pencil and he wrote the hymn that we will sing. He gave it to his wife, and unbeknownst to him, she submitted it for publication. 3 years later, he was to preach in New York, and arriving at the church from Philadelphia, he opened up the hymnal to find out what kinds of hymns they sang. He opened up the hymnal right to his own hymn. And that was when he first found out that this simple poem that he had written had found a place in the songs and the worship of the church. The hymn is the way Pastor Gilmer wrote it originally, with one exception. When William Bradbury set it to music, he added two lines to the chorus. He added the lines, "His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me." The sentiments of this hymn resonate with every follower of Christ. No matter what the circumstances of our lives, we are reminded how very blessed indeed it is to be under God's care. When we take our focus off of our own troubles and we reflect upon His leading in our life, we too can enter into the very simple and elegant truth expressed in this hymn, "He leads me, He leadeth me." This hymn was written because of a study on Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's sing together, "He leadeth me." Our next hymn, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee, was written in the middle or the dark ages. Well, not quite technically, but the basis of this hymn was. The church, if you remember, founded by the Lord Jesus 1,000 years approximately earlier, was in disarray, disorganized, degenerate, and corrupt. The moral standards of many of its prominent leaders were characterized by utter disgrace and shame, unfortunately. The spirituality and morality of the church had reached a new low. Bernard was born to a noble family in France in 1091. His leadership abilities, intelligence, and personality were put to use, not in a secular career, but as a monk. He formed 162 monasteries, and he became the abbot at the monastery of Clairvaux, where he remained until his death in 1153. It is generally agreed that Bernard of Clairvaux was the greatest of the medieval leaders of this period, and that he represented the best of monastic life. Martin Luther later wrote that he was the best monk who ever lived, whom I admire beyond all the rest put together. Bernard is attributed to writing a 192-line poem entitled Joyful Rhythm on the Name of Jesus. This hymn was an extraction from parts of that poem by Edward Cassell in the 19th century when he translated portions of that poem for this hymn. The music was set to the text by John B. Dykes, who also has written over 300 other tunes, some of which we know and sing in our hymnals today. We don't know who all the Lord has called in the past and even in the present, but what we do know is that the Lord has always had men and women who loved him, even in the darker periods of history. Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee, was penned during the middle or dark ages, the basis of that hymn. So let's sing that together. Just As I Am was written in England in 1789 by Miss Charlotte Elliott. At the age of 30, her health failed her, and she soon became bedridden for the rest of her life, for the rest of her 82 years of life. She became despondent with her poor health, and in 1822, she was visited by a Swiss evangelist, Dr. Caesar Milan. And during that visit, he told her, You must come just as you are, a sinner, to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He led her to a personal relationship with Christ that day. And 14 years later, in 1836, she wrote this hymn, Just As I Am. The words her friend said to her had settled into her heart, and they grew until she released them via the wording of this hymn. She never did regain her health, and she often endured great physical suffering. She wrote of her own afflictions, quote, He knows, and He alone, what it is day after day, hour after hour, to fight against bodily feelings of almost overpowering weakness, languor, and exhaustion, to resolve not to yield to slothfulness, depression, and instability, such as the body causes me to long to indulge, but to rise every morning determined to take for my motto, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We might hold the thought that we can't come to the Lord Jesus as we are. We might reason with ourselves that we are not good enough the way we are. That thinking is simply not true. He wants us to come just as we are, and then to grow from that point. If you are thinking of giving your life to Christ, but you think that you can't, listen very carefully to the words of this hymn. This hymn, Just As I Am, a hymn that is thought to have touched more hearts and influenced more people for Christ than any other song ever written. Yes, we can. We can come just as we are to Him. So let's sing together, Just As I Am.
Thank you.
I think the reason why we enjoy these hymns so much is because they touch our hearts and they put into an expression that we may not be able to articulate ourselves, an emotion, a feeling, a conviction. If you've been paying attention during our service, you've noticed that all of these hymns have been written because of a deep commitment, because of sorrow or compassion or loss. It may have been written in the author's later years, if you will. Some while they're younger, but some while they're older. In our lives today, we are so consumed with television, Facebook, you know, work, and other obligations that I don't think we take time to just sit down quietly and try to put to paper some of the feelings and expressions that we have. So yes, I am encouraging you to write your own hymn. Put down the ink. Put down in ink your expressions. Make it a prayer. Make it a poem. These were never written to be or intended to be hymns. They just became hymns because the words and the sentiments touched the individuals who read it, and it touched them so deeply that they sat down and put music to it. So carve out some time in your lives. Turn the TV off. Go into your closet. Close the door. Thank the Lord. And then put it to paper. There's something about writing that makes you take it and process it differently than if you just say it audibly. So maybe you can write your own hymn as well. We're going to close with our last hymn. Peace, perfect peace. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this one or not. If this is the one exception to our hymns, I do not think it's in our hymnal. I would like Sister Cheryl just to play it through once, and then I will tell you a little bit about the hymn, and then we'll sing it. This hymn, Peace, Perfect Peace, was written in 1875 by Edward Bickersteth, an ordained minister of the Anglican Church. He listened to a sermon delivered by another on Isaiah 26, verse 3. He was deeply impressed by the explanation that the original Hebrew version of this text, which reads, Thou wilt keep him in peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The idea of the repetition of the word peace conveys the thought of absolute perfection. Later that afternoon, while he was comforting a dying relative, Mr. Bickersteth began reading and discussing Isaiah 26 to encourage his friend, his actual relative. And he began recounting the points of the sermon he had heard earlier. He grabbed a piece of paper, and he quickly composed the poem, and he read it to his relative. It is believed that the words of this poem remain exactly as they were written. It was set to music in 1877, 2 years later, by a young missionary student named George Caldbeck. It has a very simple two-note melody range in the first line and a rising and falling melody in the second. Because most of us can relate to difficult times in our lives and life decisions that we struggle with, this hymn continues to comfort God's people, as few other hymns do. There are 5 questions asked in this hymn. And if you look, it's on the first line of every stanza. There's a question that's asked. And the second line of every stanza is its response, its answer. Now, we're going to sing this hymn in a call and response format, if you will. So I'd like to ask the sisters to sing the first line, and then the males, the brothers, to sing the second line. And we'll do that for the first 4 verses, and then for the 5th verse, we'll all sing together, the 5th verse. Is that clear? Okay, so it's call. Sisters are asking the question. the brothers will answer the question. That's how this song is written. Sister Cheryl and the sisters. We hope that you've enjoyed this time together singing some hymns. Each hymn has a story behind it, just as each of our lives do also. The hymns we sing were written by men and women, individuals going through the struggles of life and death, struggling with doubt and fear, of joy and peace. Their experiences allowed them to minister to us many years later. May the experiences you are going through now grow in your hearts a fruitage that will be a blessing and encouragement to all. Not only to your fellow sojourners, but also to all of mankind later. And we close with Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Please rise and we'll be dismissed with prayer. Our dear, kind, loving Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We thank you for the expressions of poetry and music that have been shared with us over the years. We thank you for the sentiments. We thank you for the experiences that you've led individuals through, that they could take the time and make the time to put it to paper and bless us. We ask that we would be able to grab onto these hymns and your word and your verses in the scriptures to find peace and comfort when we're troubled, to express our joy when we're happy, to be a shoulder of support to others, and to use them, both the hymns and your word, to do that. We thank you that we can raise our voice and sing. We thank you that we can meet together in peace and quiet, and that we are undisturbed in our worship and service to you. We ask that if it be your will, we might always be able to do that, but if not, that we would still do it anyway. And now we ask your blessing upon all your brothers and sisters, all your people, whomever and wherever they are. Bless each one according to their need. We ask your blessing upon the week before us. Bring us back together again. And help us to come with an attitude of worship, an attitude of desiring to learn more about your word, an attitude of being an encouragement and a strength to one another. Help us to be like your Son. And this we ask in his name. Amen.